Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for your presence, for your peace, for your power. We pray now that you would meet with us. Have your way in each heart. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So stand as we sing, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
This morning we are celebrating Back to School Sunday. I realize that the schools in Roane County won't be starting for another week, but they are starting all over the area, and so we wanted to be sure to get in on this. I invite you now to turn with me. In your worship folder is a litany for the beginning of school. God of all learning and wisdom, we pray for our schools.
May they be emblems of our faith, that we will have a country worth keeping and a heritage worth passing on.
We pray for our public schools.
Let them set forth the ideal that no child shall be denied the opportunity to develop his or her full potential.
We offer prayer for our private schools.
May they continue to symbolize freedom of choice and to pursue excellence without exclusiveness.
We intercede for our church-related schools.
Let them remain an option for our religious communities.
We pray for the men and women who administer our schools and school systems.
May they be educators more concerned with human values than with public relations or politics.
We pray for teachers. May they exhibit a contagious passion for their subjects, grounded in a profound concern for their students.
We intercede for all others who enable education, counselors, janitors, nurses, librarians, and secretaries.
May they know they're a vital part of the learning process.
We pray for children and youth who attend our schools. Give them a thirst for knowledge and keep them safe.
May they learn to avoid the pitfalls on their path and to prize knowledge and justice.
We offer fervent prayer for parents, O God, for perplexed, self-conscious, anxious parents.
Instead of fretting and blaming, may they join others in strengthening our schools and building our nation.
God of wisdom and knowledge, show us the way out of chaos into a new day of enlightenment, trust, and peace.
That we may praise you for your mercy forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was.
seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Remember Linda in your prayers. Continue praying for Nancy as she heals from her surgery. Continue praying for Ann. Many of you, I guess most of you know that Mike passed away this past week. Had a great crowd here yesterday afternoon for a celebration of life, and an ice cream social followed. But keep her in your prayers. Continue to pray for Wanda. She's been through a very stressful time, and I know she would appreciate your prayers. About a week and a half ago, yes, Tom Martin, remember him in your prayers.
Pastor, please remember Marianne Owens as well. She lost her brother this week.
Marianne? Lost a brother this week. I would appreciate your continued prayers for my brother. Richard Lord lives in Somerville, South Carolina. He has had mesothelioma, asbestosis, and now they are checking, they're anticipating he's got cancer in the lungs and in the liver. So he will be having a biopsy on Wednesday and would appreciate your prayers as well. As we prepare for prayer, I've got to get my lavalier microphone, but I think I can speak loud enough. As we begin for prayer this morning, I'd like to invite all of our students to come forward, all of our teachers to come forward, all of our administrators to come forward. If you're involved in the educational system, anywhere along the line, I'd like to invite you to come forward for a special time of prayer. Everybody involved in the educational system. Okay, let's gather in here for just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a brand new school year. We pray now that your blessings would be upon each one of the students from pre-K all the way through 12th grade, in college, in postgraduate work, wherever they may be. We pray that you would keep your hand upon them. We pray that you would give them a confidence and an assurance and a peace as they continue this journey into the unknown. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of the teachers, the administrators, the custodians, all of those people, Lord, that are involved in the process. We couldn't make it without each one of them. We pray that you would give them a wisdom, give them a compassion. We pray, Lord, that you'd use them to your honor and glory as they seek to mold these young lives. We pray that in this new school year, they might feel your presence. They might feel your power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one of them and for their service and for their sacrifice. Pray now that you would bless them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we give you praise for a brand new day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this sanctuary. We pray now that you would minister to each one who is here. We've come, Lord, each one of us, with needs, with problems, with situations, with frustrations, with confusion. We pray that your hand would be upon each one who needs your healing touch. Not only those that are here this morning, but those who aren't able to be here. There are those, Lord, who need a physical touch. They need your healing. We pray that as a great physician, you'd be with them. There are those, Lord, who are going through times of grief. We would pray especially today for Anne and for Marianne and for Wanda. We pray that you give them comfort and peace in the midst of their storm. We pray today, Lord, for those who are going through difficulties in relationships, with children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents and so many others. We just pray that you would reach out and minister to them right now. We pray that you would be with our great country today, Lord. How our nation needs your healing touch. We pray that as we prepare for this coming election, that you would give us clearer minds and hearts. Lord, we don't pray for one candidate or the other. We pray for all of those who are running for all of the offices involved. We pray that you would be with our current president, Lord. Whether we agree with him or whether we don't agree with him, we pray that as the leader of our nation, that you would bless him, that you would guide him and direct him and show him the path that we need to take. We pray that you would be with our military today, Lord. Be with each one of our troops, wherever they may be. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Oh, how we need your healing touch. Help us that we might be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Help us that we might dare to trust in you day by day, that we might honor and glorify you, that we might remember that the United States of America is the United States of America because it is one nation under God. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, and we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. The Jesus who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Thank you.
remain standing as we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Kiddos. Sleepy. Come on, buddy. Hey, guys. What do I have right here? What is all that? What's that? Crayons? What's this? Pencils? Those erasers, right? And that's a ruler, and there's some, what is this?
Pens.
And what do we use all that for? Yeah, I know last week it was for that, wasn't it? Okay, this week, somebody starts kindergarten. Who would that be? Yeah. And then the next week, we're going to be starting in Run County Schools. So we've got a big thing coming up, right? And all these things are things that we use for school. We have to have pencils. We have to have crayons. We have to have rulers sometimes. You know, there's another thing that your mommy just bought you last night that most students have, and that's a backpack, right? What do we do with that backpack? You put stuff in it, right? So if you put all this stuff and you put your notebooks and you put your paper and then all those other little things that the teachers like for you to bring, like Kleenexes and hand sanitizer and all that, and then if you put books in on top of that to take and share, what's going to happen to that backpack? Going to get a little bit heavy, isn't it? And as little as you are, if it gets too much stuff in it, what might happen? You don't know. You might fall over, don't you think? Sometimes we put too much stuff in that backpack. And if you don't sit down, little man, thank you, that we just can't handle it. And you know, life's kind of like that. Sometimes we just put way too much stuff on our backs, don't we? We try to do too much. We try to take care of way too many people. And it just gets worse and worse. But what we need to learn to do, the Bible says that Jesus said, cast your burdens on me. So if things get too heavy and too much, then all we have to do is to bow our heads and say, Jesus, I need some help. I need some help carrying my burdens. I'm going to lift them up to you, and I'm going to let you lift those burdens, okay? So let's remember that. Even big people need to remember that, don't they? To let God take control of our lives. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and for the blessings of it. And Lord, we just thank you that we don't have to bear all these burdens by ourselves, that you're right there holding our hands and taking those burdens off of our back. Lord, we just pray that you will allow these kids and these teachers to have a great school year for and just be with them every step of the way. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture this morning is Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already, the word of God for the people of God.
Before we start, let me invite you to be here Wednesday night for choir practice. Okay, it would certainly help. We appreciate our trio up here this morning. Thank you so much. But we need some backup, okay? We need some reinforcements. So if you'd like to come, that would really help. I appreciate Terry and all the hats that she wears. I was waiting for you to finish that one sentence to see what you're going to say, though. If you don't sit down, young man, I'm...
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows.
You know what Mom used to say? I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Yeah. But anyway, congratulations. You're doing a great job all the way around, and we appreciate it so much. We wanted to share this song with you this morning.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day! Glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, What a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness or pain, no more parting over there. Forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. A longing, I'm homesick to go to that land without heartache, no more sorrow or woe. Well, now there's nothing can hold me in this world below, 'cause I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go, and what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
It's not a misprint in your worship folder. When the sermon is entitled School Days, D-A-Z-E, if you have children or grandchildren that are getting ready, if you don't already know what that days is all about, you're going to find out. This week, the Summer Olympics will begin in Rio. And hundreds of millions of people around the globe will be watching the events on TV. In just a few minutes of time, we will see the results of years of intense preparation and training. To me, every Olympic athlete is a winner. They have proven themselves worthy of representing their countries on the world stage. They are the best that your country has to offer. Now, in the next couple of weeks, our students are going to be going back to school, and we'll see another challenge unfolding. This time, it's not for gold or silver or bronze, but preparing for the best that they can be, preparing for the rest of their lives. Life is an educational process. Someone has said that life is a hard teacher. It gives the test first and the lesson afterward. Maybe you've seen that movie, A League of Their Own. The star catcher in that movie is played by Gina Davis. And she was ready to quit. She was tired. She was frustrated. She was worried about her husband who was in the army and fighting in the war. She told the manager, played by Tom Hanks, she said, "This game is just too hard." Tom Hanks replied, "Well, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would be doing it. Hard is what makes it great. Someone has defined progressive education as green freshmen, growing sophomores, ripe juniors, and rotten seniors. There have been times when I wondered about that. Now, for me, progressive education meant beginning school in the 40s, beginning high school in the 50s, beginning college in the 60s, graduating from college in the 70s. In the 90s, I got my master's degree and my doctor of ministry degree. I got to thinking about it, and I was within 16 months of having taken half a century to complete my formal education. It's been said that a day when we do not learn something is a day wasted. Robert Schuller reminded us that life can either wear us down or polish us up. The choice is ours. Here we are on the threshold of the month of August. Summer's almost over. Our children are starting or continuing their schooling. Many of our young people are getting ready for college. And there's both excitement and apprehension as they begin this new chapter in their educational journey. Now, when we get to thinking about life, we need to realize that in a lot of ways, it could be thought of as a school of life. It's a continual learning process for each one of us. So let's draw out this analogy, perhaps on a college-type level. The school of life. We find that, first of all, according to our scripture that Catherine read a few moments ago, that there's only one entrance requirement, and that's that we are not satisfied with our present condition. In today's text, Paul said in the NIV, he said, "I've not yet taken hold." In the New Living Translation, "I've not yet already achieved. I've not reached perfection." Phillips' translation says, "I've not fully grasped." God's Word translation says, "I've not already reached the goal." Not too long ago, I received an email showing a number of disabled men, women, and children doing things that might have been thought impossible for them. How many of you saw on the news about the young man with no arms and no legs that was in the cornhole competition in Knoxville this week? A few of you did. Imagine, no arms, no legs, and he went into the final round. I don't know how he came out to final standing, but he was in the final rounds of the cornhole competition. This email that I saw showed veterans with prosthetic legs running in marathons, men and women who had lost an arm weightlifting and doing chin-ups. The rest of the short video played out. And then the following words scrolled across the screen. "The only real disability is a bad attitude." I like that. For Rockwood United Methodist Church, the only real disability we have is a bad attitude. If God is in control, there is nothing that we're not going to be able to do. Our attitude is the starting point. We can't be helped until we're ready to admit that we have a need. This is one of the things that makes parenting so challenging. Our children, whether they are 3 or 43, if they're not willing to admit they have a problem, if they're not sick enough of where they are to want to be and do better, there isn't a whole lot that can be done to help them. I have never been to an AA meeting. There are times when people have wondered about that. Sort of like the woman that was married for 35 years and she never knew her husband was drunk till one night he came home sober. Well, you know, at an AA meeting, I've seen enough of them on TV and I've read some of their literature. I know how they start out when a person gets up to speak. He says, "Hello, my name is, and I am an alcoholic." Until they get to that point, that's the first step to admit that you've got that need. There's not a whole lot that can be done. Now, I'm I'm relatively new here, my fourth Sunday. So I'm still learning the congregation. I need some help. Where are the sinners who are here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Okay, we've got some of them. We've got some who are and some who need to be talked to. One of the ultimate dissatisfactions for humankind comes from the fact that every single one of us needs salvation from sin. Consider these verses from Romans, chapter 3, 1 through 10. We find the words, no one is good. 3:23, all have sinned and come short of God's glorious standard. 5:8, God showed great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. 6:23, payday's coming. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In 1881, Clara Williams penned a song entitled Satisfied. She said, all my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Now, we talked about the entrance requirement into the school of life. And life seems to have learning stages too, just like the school experience or the college experience does. As a freshman, we need to learn to conquer failure. Paul talked about forgetting the past. This works for individuals and this works for churches. Elijah had to learn this lesson. You remember he had the experience on Mount Carmel against the 450 priests of Baal? You remember the day they had up there? I mean, all morning long, those priests of Baal were dancing and shouting and cutting themselves and everything, trying to get Baal to send down fire to burn their sacrifice, showing that he was a true God. And nothing happened. Elijah was sitting over in a corner taunting them, saying, maybe you need to shout louder. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he took a break, you know. And so finally, Elijah's turn came. He had him pour water all over the altar into sacrifice, barrels and barrels of water. And then he prayed a short prayer. Fire came down. It consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the walled water, everything. There was no doubt about it. Jonah had to learn the same lesson. You remember Brother Jonah? You remember the story? He got swallowed by a great fish. He was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. Now, our son really likes sushi and sashimi. One day we're out eating, and I told him, I said, we had that when I was a kid. We just called it something different. He says, what do you call it? I said, bait. Well, so here Jonah is for 3 days swimming around in this bait inside the fish. And finally, he came to his senses. He prayed for God to release him from this. And they were told that the fish spit him up on the shore. I imagine he was a sight to behold. Can you imagine what his clothes looked like and what his hair looked like and all of that? But he had a mission now. He had a job to do. So he was headed down the road to Nineveh. And someone said that on the way down that road, he ran into one of his old college buddies. The college buddy said, Jonah, said, why don't you come home with me and meet my wife and children, and we'll have a nice meal together and just have some fun talking over old times. Jonah said, well, no, I really got to go to Nineveh. I really got to get going. Oh, come on, just one night. It won't hurt. And Jonah said, well, you know, I am kind of hungry. What are you having for dinner? Friend says, fish. He was gone. Okay? But as we look through the scripture, we find time after time where people encountered this same challenge. Judas failed, but he never got past his freshman year. Think with me this morning. Let's think about some examples of failure. There was a young man, 15 years old, and at that time you could join the Navy at age 15. His older brother had joined the Navy, and he wanted to also. His mother finally consented for him to join. He enlisted. He went through basic training. His bags were on the ship. At the last moment, his mother broke down in tears and begged him not to go. This was his dream. But he could not break his mother's heart. So he did not sail with the British Navy. Was he a failure? Not really. Because from our vantage point here today, we know the rest of the story about this 15-year-old boy whose name was George Washington. Sparky, another failure story. Sparky failed the eighth grade. In high school physics, he got a zero. He also failed Latin, English, and algebra. He did not date. He didn't have many friends. He enjoyed drawing. In fact, he enjoyed it so much that he sent some of his drawings to Walt Disney. But they were rejected. Finally, he wrote his own autobiography in cartoons. He drew his childhood self, the boy loser, the chronic underachiever, a boy named Charlie Brown. Today, we know Sparky by his real name, Charles Schulz. Another one. He failed in business. The next year, he was defeated in election for legislature. 3 years later, his sweetheart died. The next year, he had a nervous breakdown. 2 years after that, he was defeated in an election for speaker. 2 more years, and he lost an election for elector. He was defeated twice in an election for Congress. He was defeated for the Senate and rejected for vice president. A couple years later, he was again defeated for Senate. What a failure. But that's not the end of the story, because he was finally elected president of the United States of America. And of course, we're talking about Abraham Lincoln. Somebody said that falling into deep water doesn't get you in trouble. Staying there does. Well, we hear a lot about world records nowadays. Some of them are good and some of them are not. Do you know who the strikeout king of Major League Baseball is? Babe Ruth. Now, opening day of the 1954 baseball season, the Milwaukee Braves were at Cincinnati. Both teams had a rookie starting that day. The Cincinnati Reds won that game. Their rookie hit 4 doubles in his first game in the major leagues. That's pretty good, ain't it? Wow, what a great guy. How many of y'all have ever heard of Jim Greengrass? 4 doubles. The Braves rookie was 0-for-5. Not a hit the whole game. Throughout the rest of the career, he struck out more than 99% of all the players in the major league. What a failure. One other little detail, he also broke Babe Ruth's home run record. Of course, we're talking about Hank Aaron. Robert Shuler again said, success is never ending and failure is never final. Let's look at the sophomore year of the School of Life. In our sophomore year, we allow God to increase our vision. First of all, we talked about defeating failure. Now we're talking about allowing God to increase our vision. Paul said, looking forward to what lies ahead. In Hebrews, it says Moses kept his eyes on the one who was invisible. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and founder was God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was focused. He said, thy will be done. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Tell me this morning, what is your vision for Rockwood United Methodist Church? For our reaching the lost and sharing God's love with Roane County and East Tennessee. and the world. As we reach the junior year of life, we learn to keep on keeping on. Paul said, I strain to reach the end of the race. Do you realize that Thomas Alva Edison failed 14,000 times before he finally invented the incandescent light? Anna Sklar, in her book Runaway Wives, states that back in the 1980s, for every woman who walked away from her home and family, there were 600 men who did, back in the 80s. Just 10 years later, in the 90s, for every man who walked away, there were 2 women who did. Learning to keep on keeping on. And finally, the senior year is specialization. Paul said, I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing. Paul had to conquer his pride. Moses had to overcome his timidity. The rich young ruler who spoke to Jesus, Jesus said, you lack one thing. Here's what you need to focus on. He had everything going for him. He was young, he was good looking and wealthy. Jesus told him there was only one thing he needed to do. And the young man instead went away sorrowing. My senior year of college, it was 10 years from the time I started to the time I got through. 10 years in 3 different schools. Some of them were on the quarter system, some were on the semester system. My final semester in college, my counselor had been absent each time I went to speak to him. And so finally, I went to another counselor and I told him, I said, listen, I just need to make sure that everything's set for me to graduate in May. And this was like February or March. And he said, well, let me check, come back tomorrow and I'll let you know. And so I went back the next day. And he said, well, he said, I went through your transcripts and I transferred all your quarter hours to semester hours and everything. He said, we've got a problem. You're going to be 1/3 of a semester hour short of the graduation requirement. I needed 128 hours. I had 127 2/3. I said, well, now, wait a minute. I said, I had 10 quarter hours of physical education at this other college that I didn't get credit for in my transcript. Well, he said, let me check. He called over to the PE department and he told the guy the situation. And the guy said, well, we can give him a proficiency test. And when he told me that, I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, that was 10 years ago. Well, finally they relented and they gave me 1/3 of a semester hour, so I was able to graduate. But I had to specialize on that one thing at that point. Finally, when our race, this learning process, this thing called life, this earthly existence is complete, Paul talks about the fact that we are going to graduate. We are going to receive the reward. Now, a lot of people think, and I've heard a lot of preachers say that, oh yeah, the reward is eternal life. No, it is not. The reward is not eternal life. Eternal life is not a prize that we earn, folks. We need to realize that. Eternal life is a gift offered to you and me freely from God, and there's not a thing in this world that we can do to earn it. It's all because of God's amazing grace, the songwriter said. God is offering you and me this prize. The reward that we will receive when we stand before God is to hear God say, well done. Think of it. Standing before the Creator of the universe after we have finished the fight, after we have run the course, and hearing God say to you and to me, well done. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Well done as individuals. Well done as Rockwood United Methodist Church. Not because everything has gone great. Not because somebody bequeathed us with $10 million. However, if some of you have $10 million sitting somewhere and you want a good place to give it to, here we are. Okay, and we'll be talking to you sometime about the carpeting and about the air conditioning and about the flat roof and all of these needs we've got. Heard one preacher say one time, the good news is, folks, we've got enough money to pay for all of it. The bad news is, it's still in your pockets. I'm not talking about that this morning, though. That's not in the sermon outline. You've got it right there in front of you. What I am talking about is the fact that each one of us are going through this educational process. Each one of us can look forward to having the day when we finally stand before God and He says, well done. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, this morning, speak to our hearts. We pray that you would remind us that we are called to do your work, to do your will. Some of us have many talents, Lord, perhaps some of which we're not using. You've got a job for us to do. Some of us may not be able to do as much as we used to do, but there are things we can do. Every one of us, Lord, can pray every day for the church and for our pastor, for the leaders in the church and the jobs they do. Help us that we might learn the lessons you have us to learn, that we might pass the tests that come our way, that we might hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be my master and my friend, I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side. No wonder from the pathway if Thou wilt be my guide. Ever near, I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw Thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear Thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, Thou guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, Thou hast promised all who follow Thee that that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
And now, as servants of Jesus Christ, may you leave this place to go out into the world and share with them the wonderful love and grace of Jesus Christ, unconditional, full, and free. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.